I'll make a quote and I'll see if anybody knows where this is from. Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God. All the way in the back. It's exactly a little more specific. Brother Morris. Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I have been to D.C. probably 20 times. And I'm a preacher, so I exaggerate a little bit. I get it. Especially an evangelist. That gets worse. But at any time I'm in the vicinity of Washington, D.C., I find myself at the back portion of Arlington Cemetery, and I go to that tomb. Now, you could see all the memorials. I love to see the World War II memorials, Washington Monument, and so on. But this is something that kind of grabs me. Because a lot of our history comes from guys that and gals that we didn't even know. And I'm glad that we honor that. And if you read a little on that, there's some pretty interesting features and things about those soldiers that guard that tomb, and kind of a study you'd enjoy doing. But something about being unknown. We've kind of developed a culture in Christianity that I'm only going to serve if they recognize me. Now, if my name goes on a plaque, or a pastor gets up and said, bless you, brother, or bless you, sister, you made a pie, you're like, ha, 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 now I've been recognized, all is well. But I think that's a wrong spirit to have. Amen. We ought to be okay with being unknown. Right. On the lighter side, there was a man, he called in a local armory to get a report on the number and status of the weapons and vehicles. And a private answered the phone and said, we've got 3 Jeeps, 4 tanks, 500 rifles, and a ton of ammunition. Oh, we also have 2 Cadillacs for the fat generals. There was silence. Then the response, private, do you know who I am? No, I don't, sir. I'm General Weston, was the response. Private said, General, do you know who I am? No. See you later, fatty. In that sense, it was pretty good to be unknown. On the more spiritual side, this is kind of why we're here. A man by the name of Mr. Oberlin, he was a minister in the 18th century in Germany, and he was traveling by foot in winter when he was caught in a severe snowstorm. He soon lost his way in the blowing snow and feared he would freeze to death. In despair, he sat down, not knowing which way to turn. Just a while later, a man came along in a wagon and rescued this preacher. He took him on to the next village and made sure he would be cared for. As the man prepared to journey on, this preacher said, tell me your name so that I may at least have you in grateful remembrance before God. The man, who by now had recognized this preacher, said, you're a preacher. Please tell me the name of the Good Samaritan. Mr. Oberlin said, I cannot do that, for it is not given in the scriptures. This man responded, until you can tell me his name, please permit me to withhold mine. And sometimes, like I said, we just kind of have to, is my name, do they know who I am? Sometimes I like to just slip into a church service and just enjoy it. Oh, the Ramuses are here. And you know what? It should not be about us. It should be about our Savior. Yes, sir. Hebrews 11. I hope you're there now. We've been there for giving you that just a little bit. But Hebrews 11, we call this what? The Hall of Faith, all right? And there's all these names that when you get up in Sunday school or in junior church, you love to talk about these, what we call these men of faith, but you get down to verses number 32, and what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Next 2 words, and others. And listen to what these others, unnamed, went through. They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. It's almost as if they had an opportunity to be delivered, but they said, no, our faith is enough to keep us being tortured. That's true Christianity, folks. That's true faith. And it goes on in verse number 36, next two words. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Get this. They were sawn asunder. Now, if you say, Brother Amos, how would you want to pass from this life? It would not be that. Where they lay you down, my understanding is, take a saw. And I kind of had this vivid picture in my mind of a person being sawn in half, all because of their faith. And if I were going to go that way, I'd want to at least say, Lord, at least put my name in Hebrews 11. But they were unnamed, unknown. Are you okay with being unknown? I'm an underdog guy. This is March Madness. And game one, my bracket was busted. I'll just be honest with you. And then you kind of jump on board of this Cinderella team, as they call it, the unknown, the St. Bonaventures of this world. You're like, I can't even spell St. Bonaventure. I don't know where they're from, but you kind of jump on board. They're what we call the unknown, the Cinderella team. And I kind of like that particular world, if you will. Now we'll flip over to Judges chapter 7. We're going to, when you hear that book of Judges being preached about, what names come to mind? Right, we got some boys down here. Think of judges. Who are the judges that you think about? Yes, sir.
Samson.
And what little guy doesn't say, I want to be, when I get big, I want to be like Samson. Who else would come to mind? Yes, sir.
Gideon.
My oldest son is named Gideon. And we were going to name him Gideon and middle name Titus, but that sounds like a disease. You know, it's like, what's your problem? We have Gideon Titus. So we didn't do that to him. But I like the name Gideon. His name means overcomer. I really like that. Yes, sir. You're a little early before the judges, but a good man. He was not in the book of Judges. Good try. One more. Any other name that comes to mind? Yes. I'm sorry. Ehud. I remember hearing Ehud stab fatty in the dirt came out. That's kind of how I remember Ehud. But you got these different judges throughout the book, and we come to Judges chapter number 7. And we come to the story of Gideon. Now, I, for sake of time, who has never heard of the story of Gideon besides Luke Morris? Oh, I just woke him up. Sorry about that.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm on Dad's team here, right? I don't think we need to go through the story. But Gideon was not one of those guys that was saying, I'm ready, God, use me. I want to lead your people into battle. He was kind of one of the guys, in a sense, he was hiding. We would look and say he was kind of cowardly, but God took someone weak and says, I'll make you strong, because through God we can be strong. Praise the Lord for that. But let's look at Judges chapter 7, verse number 8. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. So he went from 32,000 to 10,000, and now he's down to 300. So he retained these 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with, help me out. Say that one more time. All right, I'm hearing a little bit of a difference in the name of this guy. Go thou with that guy, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hand be strengthened to go down to the host. Then went he down with that guy, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. We'll stop there. I love lesser known Bible characters. I used to teach New Testament survey at the college there, and every year the students would have a long list of lesser known characters, and they had to pick one of the characters and do a 2-page paper, and they would come and say, I picked so and so, and I can't find enough information. I'll pick somebody else. Because some guys, there's just one line said about them. And so we come to this particular character, and again, if we say names, you might all say it differently. So I had to look up the exact meaning or the way to say the name in a Hebrew book. So you say his name, Pura. Let's try that together. Pura. So for the refined folks that are in here, here's your sermon title. Ponder the path of Pura. That's for the refined. For guys like me and for the kids, here's your sermon title. You ready? Hip Hip Pura. You'll never read this story again the same probably after this. But so, Hip Hip Pura. So here we go. We're going to look at this man quickly and hopefully learn some things from him. So the name Pura means, and this one I struggle with a little bit. His name means ornamentation. I'm thinking, all right, which dad, you know where I'm going with this, all right? The one thing that I can say about Pastor Ross is he's a man's man, all right? I think the first time I showed up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I was preaching for the school chapel. I'm going to guess, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. I'd never been here before. I pulled down to that building down there. I'm a city boy from Chicagoland area, and I pulled down, and hanging on the outside of the door there was a deer, and blood was still dripping. I'm thinking, all right, I'm in the country. I don't think ornamentation, and that's a different type of ornamentation. But the word Pura means ornamentation. It goes on to give the idea of foliage. And so the more I looked into it, the more I kind of understood what it meant is if you happen to go to one of those fancier restaurants and they bring out the steak and the potatoes and the vegetables and so forth, there's this little tiny thing. And for kids, you're like, what is this? But parents know what that is, and the kids are getting ready to pick it up and gnaw on it. You're like, no, no, no. And there's this little parsley thing, I think is what they, what do they call it? Somebody help me out. A garnish, all right? And so they put it there, and really the purpose of the garnish or the foliage or the ornamentation is to make the plate look pretty. So for us men folk that just want to eat, we push aside the Pura. Amen. And we dig in and we get the knife and fork and we put the napkin up in our shirt. Here we go. It's on. And we push aside the foliage. Now, that's the same idea because you know what? For Pura and for us, we are not the main course when it comes to the Christian life. It should be easy for us to people look and say, wow, something is special about that person, but we get pushed aside and they are, the purpose is for them to see the Lord Jesus Christ, not us. And the problem is like, hey, did you see what I do? Did you hear how I preach? Did you see how the people like on the edge of the pew and I had them as putty in the palm? We're missing the point, folks. Right. I'm glad for good preaching. I'm glad for good singing. I had nothing to do with them. So they're like, wow, that's not bad. But if we begin to take glory in the ornamentation, we're missing out on the main course, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So what can we learn from this guy named Pura? Number one, Pura was a servant. There's only two times his name is mentioned in the scriptures, and notice what it says in these two verses. Verse number 10 again. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura. Right next to it is thy servant. Verse number 11, towards the end, then went he, Gideon, down with Pura, there it is again, his servant. I tell you what, it's something, a beautiful thing when simultaneously his name is mentioned and right next to it is the idea that he was a servant. You know what our world needs today is not necessarily good preachers. Our world needs some servants. You know what our bus kids need? And praise the Lord that you got a heap of buses out there. We had, I think, 18 leave our property this morning to go get people, pick them up for Sunday school. Praise the Lord. They don't need good storytellers. They don't need someone that can sing a couple nice choruses. They just need somebody that's going to come and say, I'm here to serve you. That's Pura. Pura gives us a good example that he simply was a servant. You know, our Bible colleges, the purpose is to train people for full-time Christian police officers and so forth. They're called civil. You see, if we just did what we were programmed to do and what we're supposed to do, we'd be like Pura. In the nursing homes, they need servants. In the Bible clubs, They need servants. And I love to hear about the church plants that you all are doing. And what that is you serving so other people can hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to preach at you. I'm here to encourage you to say, you know what our world needs is simply people that are willing to serve. Can I say this? Relationships will flourish when both parties are serving together. See, I had it all wrong at the beginning. I got married. And the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves. And I stopped there. I'm like, that's good preaching. But I didn't read the entire text that the Bible talks about when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so it was pretty easy to be a woman, where's my dinner? Woman, wash my clothes. Woman, pick that up. And I'm like, I'm the man. No, I'm missing something, you know, because I wanted her to serve me, but I was missing the fact I ought to serve her. Sometimes it's easy when kids rolled around, Gideon, and then Titus, and then Marissa, and then Karis. And it's like, you walk in, I kick my shoes this way, Gideon picked that one up, kick the other shoe that way, Titus picked that one up. This is fun. But I've come to understand that the more I serve my kids, the easier it is for them to serve me. And really, truly, if we're going to get a good picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have taken on any form that he wanted. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, but he took upon him the form of a help me out. And so it would do us well to say, I just want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to take upon the form of a servant. But you say, but Brother Amos, I've been at Blessed Hope for 75 years. It's about time someone started serving me. Can I applaud you? Can I encourage you for being a servant? But I tell you what, if you're going to stay like Christ, we have to stay being a servant. Pura was known for being a servant. Number two, moving on. This is one I want to encourage you with, and you're probably already doing this, so if you are, just say, Brother Amos, pass on. Number two, Pura was a support. Notice verse 10 again. But if thou fear, this is God speaking to Gideon, if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pura thy servant. So God kind of gives Gideon this if. If you're afraid, do this. And what did Gideon do? So what does that tell us? He was fearful. You might say, well, what's wrong with you, man? You need to have courage. Well, when you have 300 versus 135,000, the odds are not real good. And they don't fight like us now in a tank, and we just blast off, and one side lines up on this side, the other side lines up on the other side. You're like, 300... 135,000, this is not looking real pretty. You with me? So obviously there's going to be a little bit of fearfulness going on in the life of this leader of God's people. Now hang with me. Here's Gideon, who in context, it seems to indicate that he was fearful. I'd like to encourage you, church, because kids, I'll start with you. I think it's safe to say that there are times when your parents have a bad day. They're looking at me like, I don't think so. Husbands, I think it's safe to say that there are times when our wives have bad days. I'm trying to avoid looking this way because my wife's sitting over here. She's like, every day is a bad day with you. Wives, I think it's safe to say that there are times when your spouse has a bad day. Can I go a step further? In the church setting, Brother Chad might have a bad day. Mrs. Chad might have a bad day. Travis sometimes, hard to believe, he has bad days. And I think my heart goes out to your pastor and his wife because right now they're going through some tough stuff. I'm so thankful he sends me the updates and I pass them along to our church folks. I got several cards and such from our church for him tonight. But here's the point. Pura was supportive. Here's the plus. All of us can be a support. We're kind of missing this in our churches a little bit, and I'm not saying specifically Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but in our church and other churches that I travel to, it's a wonderful thing when you know, not when somebody just, you think, I hope they're praying for them, but when you know they're praying for you and they send you a text, and they say, hey, just so you know, this morning you were on my heart. I was praying for you. There's times I'll be away and I'll get a text from my wife and she'll say, Eric, I'm praying for you. And it's almost like what happens when you get that, you kind of get this pat on the back or this encouragement to know somebody's on my team. Someone hears the word. Someone is supporting me. Missionaries come in and they line up their kids and they're on their perfect best behavior and they got the kids all sing a song and the preacher gets up and promotes his field like, wow. And really, at the end of the day, he's there for one thing. You know. And they can say, brother, if you can't support us in with finances, support us in prayer. They actually want both. And so they'll say at the end of those prayer letters, thank you for your... So here's Gideon, and we know even before he took on this job, he pulls out the fleece. One day I want it wet, one day I want it dry, and it kind of gives an indication he wasn't Mr. Confidence, Mr. Arrogance. I don't know about this, I'm the least of my family. And even when he was going to go tear the idols down, we'd say, yeah, when I was there, I'd be ripping those things down. You probably would not have either, but Gideon was kind of fearful. Hey guys, let's do it at night when nobody's... He's not the icon of confidence. But he had a pura that must have from the sidelines looked up and says, I'm just sensing my general, my leader's a little bit insecure, a little bit fearful. Hey, Captain Gideon, General Gideon, just so you know, I'm here with you. It didn't come in a lot of ways. I've developed a habit of every Sunday morning, I text my pastor and my pastor's wife, praying for you today. As you preach and as you teach, I'm praying for you. If you need anything, please let me know. And I've developed this and I've tried to just encourage people along the way because I know when people send me a text, it gives me the encouragement that I need for that moment. And I don't always know what people are going through, but I can pray. And what it is there's something to be able to lean on because you're going to have bad days. How old are you? Life's going to get real good in a hurry. But we all love to be the receivers of support. My challenge is to be the giver of support. And here's the beauty. From the youngest to the oldest, I encourage you to blow up your pastor's phone tonight. Blow it up. Because we are in a text-crazy world, aren't we? I'm not going to stop that. We're not stopping that train. But maybe just pull a couple texts aside and just with each other. And maybe you do this. So I'm not preaching at you. But with each other, just start a little pattern. I'm going to pray for her on Monday. I'm going to pray for her on Tuesday. And I'm going to pray, he really needs some. Pray for him on Monday and Tuesday. And go down the list. And then line up these little kids and put a little note just as they come to school or as they show up at church. Just say, hey, I'm praying for you. And what that does is we're all supporting one another because we're going to have bad days. And Gideon was struggling. But Pura said, I'll support you. I'm there for you. I'll give you courage. Number three, quickly, because I have 11 minutes. Pura was silent. Now, somebody's got to be the loudmouth. I'm glad that I have a very, very silent spouse. She just doesn't say much. She doesn't like me to say, do you want to give a testimony? Do you want to sing a solo? I'm probably going to be sleeping on the couch tonight because I just brought that up. But when you go door knocking, there's the talker, and then there's the help me out. And that silent partner, I've been there at times, he becomes really important sometimes. Because as you're starting to talk to a person there at the door or on their couch, the kids come in, the devil knows how to work. You know this. The devil knows how to work. And all about that time, the silent partner becomes pretty important. And he says, oh no, what can I do? And he finds a kickball or a soccer ball. And he says, hey kids, let's go outside and play in the field. And while they're playing soccer, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa is getting introduced to Jesus. Hey, man. And here's the guy that leaves. It was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And he goes, like, well, I was just playing kickball. Hold on. Are not both important? The guy in the junior church classes, you're up there telling your story, and there's those three little knucklehead kids that just won't listen. And you flicked them in the head, and you've tried to people's elbow them, and it just doesn't work. But that silent guy just kind of slips in there. He kind of sits between them, and he's got like two lollipops sticking out of his pocket. He's like... And while he has those kids mesmerized, the other 15 kids can listen and hear about Jesus. All I'm saying is don't feel insignificant when you're not the guy speaking. Gideon was talking. Pura was just silent. The silent partner. But we kind of want to raise our voice sometimes, don't we? And say, hey, I'm here too. Pick me, pick me. And God's okay with people being silent. I really like this. There was a preacher years ago preaching at a preacher's meeting. And he was getting up talking about the idea of consecration. And he said, he was speaking to these preachers, he said, to give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others. To pay the ultimate price of martyrdom. I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, I'll go out in a blaze of glory. You've probably seen it at a camp or a conference. Kids get up and say, I've surrendered to be a missionary. And everybody's like, ah! And we should be excited when people surrender to be missionaries. And it's almost like, yep, I'm going to take $1,000 bill is what this preacher said, and I'm going to put it on the table, and everybody's rejoicing. But this is what he said. He said, really, that's not the Christian life. He said, the Christian life is taking that $1,000 bill, if there was such a thing, taking it to the bank and cashing it in for quarters. And every day you just go and help a person here. Go to the nursing home, the assisted living place. Just pour a cup of water for somebody. And it's those little silent things that add up is what makes the difference. And that's kind of how I picture Pura. Can I go to the last thing? Pura is not only a support. He was not only a servant. He was not only silent, but he was okay with, here's the last S, standing in the shadows. 300 men are surrounding the group of the Midianites. We don't even know if Pura was in the 300. We don't. We may not have the story of Gideon if Pura was not willing to go down into the host to be encouraged by a dream that he heard. Are you with me? We're fading fast. So there's 300 men surrounding the Midianite host. They're supposed to break the pitchers, shine the lights, and blow the trumpets. And then when that happens, they're supposed to shout, the sword of the Lord and of Pura. The sword of the Lord and of... And even when you go to hotels, you pull out the drawer, and what do those Bibles say? Pura? Gideon's. And I told my son, based on whatever version it was, if it was NIV, we don't need any of that, but if it was a King James, I'm like, just take it. It's got your name on it. So he had like a whole assortment of Bibles. It's free. But he was okay with standing in the shadows. And my encouragement is, from everything I hear, listening to the preaching, Pastor Ross has a great group of servants, support, people that are okay with being silent and standing in the shadows. And I guess I want to urge you to keep at it. Keep at it. But maybe we can up our game a little bit. Because don't you like to receive that encouraging text? It's been fun now because I've got about... Is there an Abel family in here? Sam Abel's mom, dad, right there. Okay. I don't even know Sam. I talked to him on the phone one time. He was going to come visit Fairhaven. I coordinated the visit. I was gone. I was in Minnesota, I think, when he called. Every Sunday morning. I don't know him. I'm looking forward to his text. Praying for you, Brother Ramos. Something along wherever you are. I told him today, I'm going to be at your church. I'm looking for his text. Every day, right? We get a text from a pastor in Wisconsin every single day. And it used to be early in the morning, and then it got to be 11. I'm like, he must be getting lazy. I don't know what's wrong with him. But you know what it does? Here it is. I'm done. There's just throughout my day sometimes, Brother Morris, I just am down. I get a little discouraged. Sometimes things are happening in my family, and I get that text. It almost seems like at the right moment, and it's almost like, okay, now I can keep on going. God used somebody to be a support for me. They didn't even have to talk to me. In a sense, it was a silent encouragement to keep me going. And here's the wonderful thing. From the youngest to the oldest, we can all do this. You could put something in your dad's wallet instead of taking something out of your dad's wallet. Amen. And when the kids get on board with this, it can be really exciting. I guess I've prayed for your pastor probably not as much as you all have. But this would be a good time to ramp up our game. And he's gone. He's probably not listening to this anyways. But it'd be awesome if he just kind of blew up his phone. But that's kind of easy to do for the pastor. I don't even know you. How long have you been coming to the Blessed Hope Baptist Church? So like 10 years? Since 2013. Oh, you said since you were 13. I'm like, 10 years ago? Since 2000. How many have been coming for about a year, maybe, to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Have any? So you're fairly new. Less than a year. I don't know you. Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody blew up his phone? She said no. Or just gave you gift cards. How's that? There you go. He's like. We love the story of Gideon, don't we? But he was down. And there was a guy that came along named Pura, that said, I'm going to support my leader. And husbands, I'm preaching to myself here. Our wives can use that support and help. And wives, I'm preaching to ladies here. Husbands are like, okay, go ahead. It would be healthy for our homes if we served one another and supported one another. And I think God will bless that. Let's be okay with being a Pura. Charles Spurgeon preached to thousands in London each Lord's Day. Yet he started his ministry by passing out tracts and teaching a Sunday school class as a teenager. When he began to give short addresses to the Sunday school, God blessed his ministry of the word. He was invited to preach in obscure places in the countryside and to use every opportunity to honor the Lord. He was faithful in the small things, and God trusted him with the greater things. He said this, I am perfectly sure that if I had not been willing to preach to those small gatherings of people in obscure country places, I should never have had the privilege of preaching to thousands of men and women in large buildings all over the land. Remember our Lord's rule. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I love Spurgeon. I read Spurgeon stuff all the time. I'm reading The Treasury of David right now. I just hit Psalm 15 this year. I started in Psalm 1. I'm not doing real well. But it's just loaded with stuff. I'm like, how did he get that out of that? I just missed it somewhere. But he was willing to preach in the unknowns. And God said, I see that. I'm going to exalt. Now, we shouldn't do it for that. But we should all be okay with being like our Lord Jesus Christ. He simply was a servant. So for the refined folks, ponder the path of my group. Hip, hip. That was weak. Let's try that again. Hip, hip. Good. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today, the opportunity to come and be a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, their evening service. Thank you for your people that have assembled together. I'm not here to preach at them. Maybe there's one or two that needed this tonight. I know I need this regularly. Sometimes you kind of want everybody to serve you. And shame on me when I'm expecting everybody else to serve me, when we ought to be willing to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, just keep passing out those quarters. Quit worrying about being the one that's up preaching or being the one that's getting recognized. But say, I just want to be settled to be a guy named Pua. Right now, the leader of this church is facing some challenges. And I really believe, God, you put this on my heart for this church to rise up. And I'm sure they have. So I don't know. But to rise up in an even more special way and say, Pastor, we're with you. But there's others in this church that maybe just need a helping hand, an encouraging word, an encouraging text, a pat on the back. And what a thrill it would be, especially as all these extra special events are coming up that were announced tonight on that 50th anniversary day, just a whole bunch of Puras gathering together to see great victory for God's people. Use this, I ask, in Christ's name.